Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I'm Dave.
And I'm Shecky, and in our podcast what we like to do is review stuff you can see on your own Groovy Boob Tube. Stuff that's either on the HBO or on the pay-per-view, or though it hasn't happened yet, it could be a Hallmark Channel movie, though I really can't imagine that being the case. Anywho... this week's movie,
Zathura.
Indeed.
Sorry.
Why are you laughing like that?
When people used to call my house when I was a kid, they used to think there was an English guy answering the phone. And it was my dad, because he'd put on an accent for some reason that he thought seemed proper.
Just for the phone? Was he kidding, or was he...
Or maybe he was trying to sound rich, or I don't know, but occasionally, he wasn't trying to sound English, but on a few occasions, people mistook him for being English.
Well, you know, back in the day, it was like...
he was like, hello!
But back in the day, it was... You had to be proper on the phone. The phone
smoke
was...
Smoke Luckies!
The phone wasn't just, you know, hey, are you ready? I'll be right there. It was... You know, it cost a lot of money for people to make a phone call, and you wanted to be proper. You wanted to represent yourself well back in the day. I mean, the phone hasn't really been around all that long.
Before the damn devil and rock music took over.
Well, yeah, and that just changed everything. The devil and the rock music. But that's probably why he did that. I'm sure my grandmother answered the phone properly, too, back in the day.
Very interesting.
So it was your week to pick?
Zathura! Come over here, Zathura, and hand me a lemonade, will you? Bring me that cocoa.
So you are equating the name Zathura with some sort of slave labor name? Is that what's going on here?
What? I didn't mean that.
Zathura, bring me a lemonade?
Zathura, will you polish my shoes and bring me that lemonade, you wench?
Well...
you see, that's what I'm saying. I didn't know what to expect from this movie over here.
So you never heard of it?
Zathura. I don't know what that is.
You never had heard of Zathura?
Nope. And it conjured up images that I was trying to avoid.
What? The lemonade and the...
I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some sort of like Greek slave trade thing.
Aha.
I don't know. It was like an Amazon. I had pictures of like Amazonian women enslaved in space. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I think...
And then when I realized it was a kid's movie, I didn't know where to go with it.
Yeah. Well, it was not... there was no Amazonian women... enslaved Amazonian women in space in this movie.
Drat!
So you picked it because it was your week to pick, and there really wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah, man. Come on.
I mean, we say it every week, but still.
Man, they are trying to keep us down, brothers and sisters. The squareheads are trying to rule us into a box, man.
You think that's why the bad pay-per-view?
Exactly, man. They don't want to show you the real shit because then you're going to start thinking outside the box.
Uh-huh.
You see? Now, they don't call it square for nothing, man, because they want you inside their box. Once you think outside the box, you ain't a square no more, man. That's why they don't want you doing them drugs, because they ain't going to release the spirits, get outside the box.
Wow.
So get with it, man. Come on.
All right, then. Well, that's why we picked Zathura this week.
I tell you, it was a lot better than I expected. Oh, am I jumping the gun? I think I jumped the gun.
I think you did jump the gun. I think we need to say the plot first.
Well, that's your job.
You've designated that as being my job, though I think you could probably take care of it very well.
Well, my vision of the plot is somewhat more abstract than the average viewer. Sometimes.
Well, what I think the plot of this movie was that two young brothers, I would say one is 6 3/4 and one is 12.
No. One was 10 and the other one was 6 3/4.
Wrong.
He said he was in fourth grade and he was 10. He's not like, I'm in fourth grade, I have a girlfriend, and he was 10.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, wouldn't you be in fifth grade if you're 10, perhaps? But maybe not.
Depends on if you were like in November or December, you know.
Depends on which bus you get on.
Anyway, so there's two brothers, one 10 and one 6-ish. The dad is played by Timothy Robbins, who isn't in the movie for a long time.
True.
But I do love Timothy Robbins.
Can't go wrong with Timothy Robbins.
I don't think I've ever not liked him in a movie.
Is it Timothy Robbins or Tim Robbins?
Timothy. Is it Tim Robbins?
Tim Robbins. Timothy Hutton.
Timothy Hutton. Whatever happened to Timothy Hutton?
Man.
Okay.
Man, that's a whole story. That's a whole show.
Well, we don't really know. So
I'll review Falcon and the Snowman if you're not careful.
Falcon and the Snowman.
Falcon, this is Snowman. Come in.
And then we can review Iceman.
What's Iceman?
That's a movie with Timothy Hutton. That was like, I think, the last thing he did that I actually saw.
Mm.
You never saw that one?
I can't remember.
It was like they found an Iceman frozen.
Oh, Encino Man.
No. No. Encino Man was after Iceman. Iceman was like a drama.
Yeah, I don't remember Iceman. Yeah. Shite.
Anyway, Timothy Hutton has nothing to do with this movie. Tim Robbins plays the dad of these two kids. One is absolutely adorable, and the other one is like a complete douche. And they're fighting for attention, and the older one keeps on, you know, saying bad things to the younger one. And Timothy Robbins has to... Timothy Robbins.
Timothy Robbins, please report to the information desk.
Tim Robbins has to go out for a meeting or something. He leaves them alone with their sister. The younger kid gets into the dumbwaiter in the house that they have. They're living in an old house. And the older kid just lowers him down in the basement as some sort of punishment for something. And
dumbwaiter. What is that? That's not a familiar term anymore. What's that? Like a little cupboard that you raise up and down in the wall that would put the dishes or laundry to the servants or something?
It would be, I don't know if it would be laundry. It would just be something that you could put, if you had plates, you know, you ate in your room or whatever, and you just put the plates in the dumbwaiter and you lower it down, or maybe you even ring a bell and someone in the kitchen lowers it down.
That was cool.
Yeah, but that was back a long time ago that they even had those.
Yeah.
I've never lived in a house that's had those. And I've lived in some old houses, but have you had a house like that?
Never had a dumb waiter.
Okay, terrific. So the kid goes into the basement and he finds this game, Zathora. And it's more than meets the eye, this game. Right, Dave?
Yep. The kid who's a little bit... Well, what's going on there? You got the kid, you got two brothers. You got your two brothers over there. One is sort of like a little bit, you know, special.
What do you mean special?
And the other one's like less special.
What do you mean? Wait, are you saying special like Little Yellow Bus special?
No, he just can't catch very well. Let's just put it that way.
Well, so what?
Oh, okay. Well, he can't catch.
That doesn't mean he's retarded.
I didn't say he was retarded.
Well,
I think even
special.
Tim Robbins says that he's special. And I don't know what he was referring to, but if you go back and play the tape,
well, I think he was just trying to make the kid feel like he wasn't
completely
useless. Well, he's special.
I've been told I'm special, and I don't know what to make of it.
But Dave, you did get the Little Yellow Bus.
No,
to school.
It was not yellow; it was blue. Okay. It was a little blue bus. It was an independent company.
Okay,
as you know,
call that what you'd like.
Whoa.
It was still the short bus.
Whoa.
Sorry.
So, like, the special brother finds the game, man, and he's like, you know, he's trying to get his other brother to, like, play with him, and the other brother's like, Stiffy McIllicuddy, man, and, like, won't play with him, man.
The other brother's a total dick.
He's fucking, like, you know, dick, man.
But eventually, what happens is that the little kid starts playing with the game by himself. He takes the first turn. And, you know, he has to wind it up with a little key. It's like, it seems like it's a game from, like, the 1940s.
It's yeah, like it reminded me of something like out of the Twilight Zone. Like one of those fortune tellers that yeah. creates your reality.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a tin game with two little spaceships on a track, and you wind it up and you hit a button and one of the
mechanism moves it along.
Yeah, exactly. Moves the spaceships along, and then a card pops out, and so the first card that pops out is Meteor Shower. Take evasive action.
Yes.
And the little kid can't read too well. So he gives the card to his brother. His brother reads it. And all of a sudden, there's like a meteor shower in their house.
He can't read, he can't catch, and he cheats. Yeah. But other than that, he's a nice kid.
Well, he is adorable. He has that going for him. He is really an adorable kid. But this is where, you know, all
so
hell
a meteor
breaks
shower
this.
Comes into the house and targets them in the living room.
Yeah, targets them in the living room, and they soon discover, I mean, the meteor shower is ridiculous. I mean, it completely ruins everything. And they soon discover that they're, you know, while this meteor shower was happening, the house has been launched into outer space. And they open the doors, and they look out the windows, and they look through a hole in the roof, and it's there in outer space. And they start to freak out. And basically, the movie is about them. They continue to try and play the game because at the end of the game, if you win, you get back home. Or at least that's what the box says. The box says that the game will reset itself once there's a winner.
I hate when that happens.
And this book is the movie is based on a book, and I forget the guy's name, but he also wrote Jumanji, which I didn't really like very much. And Dave didn't like at the beginning of the pay-per-view. Leonard Maltin came on for a Maltin minute. Usually what happens is the pay-per-view counts down, clock hits zero on the TV, and then the pay-per-view starts. But this time, Leonard Maltin popped up on the screen to tell us that, for whatever reason, that he likes this movie. And Dave had a conniption.
I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear that from him right before I'm going to watch the movie. If you want to get a review, tune into our show, or tune in his show after or intentionally, but not. Don't strike me with your review and ruin it for me right before it comes on.
Dave grabbed the remote and just
fucking
hit mute.
Maltin.
He muted Leonard Maltin and the Maltin Minute. It was really, I mean, for all the times we've gotten pay-per-view, I've never seen that before. I don't know if that's a new thing, but it certainly was unwelcomed by us.
I got to put a halt into the Maltin.
So the movie is really good.
It's a very good movie.
I don't know.
Is this a good movie for kids? You know, not little kids, but I'd say kids around the age of the kids in the movie.
Yeah.
Probably about 6 to 12 this is really good for.
Well, but you know what? I liked it.
When you get older, it's probably good. Maybe you might not like it if you're like 14 or 15. I'm not sure. Or 16 or 17. Might be a little too like a kids type thing for you.
It you know, it strikes me like it's the same age as the as anybody who would like the Goonies.
All right.
I thought it was very Goonie-ish. Did you?
I didn't think that. But I'm not so familiar with the Goonies.
Really?
Yeah, what? I mix up the Goonies and... what's the one where you make them wet?
Oh, Gremlins.
Gremlins, yeah, Gremlins, Goonies. Yeah, what else is there? Some another one in there that I'm confused.
Well, the Goonies is the one where the kids find the pirate ship with all the treasure and the throw mama from the train woman's in it.
Right. Yeah, I never saw that until like maybe little pieces of it here and there.
Oh, recently. Really?
Yeah.
And the Cyndi Lauper, she sings the theme song.
Was that a mainstream hit?
Oh, yeah. Good enough.
No, not the song, the movie.
The Goonies? Oh yeah. I would say it was. At least it in my mind, it was. That's like a, I thought it was a, you know, that's a great movie, The Goonies. At least, unless it has like a cult following and I just don't realize
you're part
it.
Part of the cult.
I might be part of the cult and not know it. But this movie reminded me a lot of The Goonies in that it's like an adventure and it's kids left to
kids
fend
adventure.
For themselves. Yeah, kids fending for themselves and you know, it's just, I really liked it.
I liked it too. It was good. The characters were funny. The guy, the astronaut guy was good.
Yeah, every time they took a turn, another card would spit out, and the card would...
turn up a new adventure.
It would be, yeah, and it would sometimes be good, sometimes you wouldn't know what the hell the card was for, but at one point the card was rescue the astronaut.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So then this it brought this astronaut into the mix. And the astronaut was he was funny. I thought he was funny.
Yeah, what's he been in?
I don't know. He reminded me of the guy from Scrubs, but that wasn't him. But he reminded me of that guy.
Right, that's true.
He was good.
And the kid reminded me of Danny from The Shining.
Yes.
That's what I thought instantly.
Well, is that
he looked just like that.
Is that Josh Bobo?
Jonah Bobo.
Jonah Bobo.
And here's what I wrote. First thing I wrote was, good news, Jon Favreau.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody loves Jon Favreau. If you don't... Well, fuck you, all right? How about that? And then I wrote, bad news, Jonah Bobo.
Why is that bad news? You don't even know who that child is yet.
I know. I didn't know if it was a child or anything, but just that name is bad news.
Yeah, Bobo.
Jonah Bobo.
Jonah Bobo.
Hey, man. Get with the times. That is a Seacrest out, man. Come on.
But is Bobo even a real last name?
Bobo. Willie Bobo Smith, but Bobo's a nickname.
Why would you let your kid become an actor with the last name of Bobo?
Look, you cannot be a white kid and have a last name Bobo.
Really?
Oh, maybe if you're like from Africa, you know?
Oh, you mean like a tribal name?
Like Mbable Bobo. That's okay.
I see.
But Jonah Bobo, I mean, Jonah Weinstein, you know, Jonah Jones, you know, great trumpet player from the past, but not Jonah Bobo.
Yeah, I thought that was so, it's so weird to have Bobo, Jonah Bobo, and he's the cutest little kid, but Bobo.
He's a good actor. I liked him. He was good.
He was a great actor.
The kids are good. Everyone's good in this movie, but that name threw me.
The name is awful.
When I was looking at the preview, I was like, I don't know much about the movie, but there's a guy named Jonah Bobo in it.
And it was like a turnoff for you.
Yeah, it was rough. It was bad.
It was bad, kid.
Iggy.
So, but the movie just really is, I wouldn't even say that Tim Robbins is a star in it, because he's just basically in it for a very short time.
He could have had a bigger role. They could have brought him in more, I thought.
But...
Oh, you know what I thought?
What?
At the end of the movie, when he sees the game on the ground, he should have been like, you know, he should have been like, he played that game or something.
I think that's the way Jumanji ended.
Oh, well, I mean, freaking Jumanji. I don't know about the Jumanji.
I didn't see Jumanji because I think the Robin Williams was in it.
I thought it was a racial slur.
Jumanji?
Yeah.
No. What do you mean, Jew?
Yeah, Jumanji. I don't know. It's not happening, man.
Jumanji was the one the jungle animals. I don't even remember that one that well because, you know what? I just can't stand Robin Williams.
The tribe of, what was that other one I was stuck on?
Something Dwarf's Tribe.
You can't stand Robin Williams?
I said sometimes I can't stand Robin Williams.
Robin Williams is dope in, for you kids out there, dope. That's a term we used to use in the 90s.
right, along with Fresh.
In Insomnia. Insomnia. Is that what it's called?
Insomnia. Oh, is that the one
Insomnia?
With...
Yeah.
With Pacino?
It is with Pacino, but Robin Williams is really good in it.
Yeah, Pacino is another one who
Pacino's good in it, too, because...
But Pacino's
he plays a guy who doesn't get any sleep for, like, days on end, and he's completely ridiculous, and that's like kind of how he is anyway.
Yeah, but Pacino, to me, is, you know, he's overstayed his welcome.
All right, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean... there's been some really bad Pacino movies out there.
Yeah, post 89, I'd say. Post 90.
What was in 90 that he was fine?
Oh, man. I was just picking a random number
because
there.
I'm thinking it was earlier than that.
Well.
Hoo-ha. It was before that.
What's hoo-ha?
Hoo-ha. Son of a Woman.
No, that's in the mid-90s, isn't it?
But I'm saying even before that. I'm thinking that that awful author movie. I think that was when he jumped the shark for me.
That was before Scarface.
Author was before Scarface?
Yeah. Come on. How about And Justice for All?
Yeah, but you know what?
That's one of the greats.
Scarface is awful. Were we watching Scarface the other day?
That's and debatable.
There was something about Scarface that was just making me really angry to be watching it. And it I think really... it was the acting. I think it was the acting and the dialogue. But other than that...
That and the open shirted, with bare chested open shirt.
So awful.
Guys.
He jumped the shark earlier for me than he did for you. Or has he not jumped the shark for you?
Well,
do you always have a place for him in your heart?
He's jumped the shark, but he is fucking Al Pacino. You know, he's Al Pacino.
He was Al Pacino.
He's Alpa.
He, you know, the truth of the matter is that he's been making some crappy movies lately. Did you see that movie Simone he was in?
No, I didn't see.
Where Simone really is for Sim 1.
Oh, that one.
Where he's like...
Is that recent? I thought that was in the 80s.
No, oh, dude, that was like 2002
Star 80.
Or something.
Hey, you guys see Star 80, the most recent movie?
Was he in Star 80? I don't think he was in that.
For some reason, I'm thinking of something back in the day.
Why are you even thinking of Star 80?
Star 80.
That was with one of the Hemingway girls.
Ah, really bad.
No. Star 80?
And how about Westworld? Western World? What was it called? Is a movie with I think Peter Fonda is in it.
Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
The chessboard where they play chess and it's actual human pieces like shooting each other.
Oh, I don't know that
and
one.
And all this weird surreal shit. It's like a futuristic like Western World or something where like the robots have like some shit goes wrong.
Really? I never.
Yeah, it's from the '70s.
Is it way out there?
It's out there, baby.
Is it good though, or is it campy fun?
There are moments
badness?
That are really great, but it's pretty terrible.
Oh, that's funny. What was the best part of this movie for you?
I was just surprised that it was as good as it was. The whole thing was good. And I like the house like floating in space. The whole house yeah. with the foundation, kind of the dirt still attached to it, floating in space. That was kind of cool. I like that. I don't know.
I liked it. Well,
it was cool. It was like I could see this being like a cool movie for a kid.
I liked all the graphics. I thought it was exciting the whole time. The whole time, it never got dull.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Because they always had to take another turn at the game, at which point another wacky thing would happen that they'd have to deal with. And I thought it was really good. And as soon as it started, first of all, I saw Jon Favreau's name. I hadn't known that he directed this movie when
right.
it first came out. But, you know, Jon Favreau, the opening credits sequence of this movie is just really great. And it's just of the game moving, the machinations of the game moving.
The machinations?
Of the, yeah.
What the hell's a machination?
The, you know, the movement of the game. The
mechanisms.
The mechanisms moving.
Machinations? I never heard of machinations.
And it reminded me of... He also directed the movie Elf, which also Elf has the greatest opening sequence of a movie in the recent years anyway that I've ever seen. It was all like the claymation of the old school, like Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They made their opening sequence for Elf exactly like those shows. And as soon as I had saw that at the beginning of Elf, I was like, oh my God, that's great. So this movie with the, you know, also was done by Jon Favreau, and it also had a great opening sequence. And so as soon as the opening sequence started, I was getting into it.
He does good work.
He does do good work.
He does good stuff, that guy.
So the best part of the movie for me was just, I guess, kind of the same. I was just really surprised at how good it was because I don't think it stayed in the theater for that long.
Yeah,
I think, you know what?
Nothing does these days.
Well, you know what? I think the name Jumanji was attached to it, and a lot of people didn't like Jumanji. And I think people were just like, well, fuck it. It's another movie about kids who are playing a game, and something happens to them when they play a game. And when you really think of it that way, yeah, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound all that thrilling. But then you've got the Jon Favreau, and this movie was co-produced by Peter Billingsley, which made me giggle. But Peter Billingsley does that Dinner for Five with Jon Favreau as well.
Uh-huh.
You know who Peter Billingsley is?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like a very proper name.
Hello?
Hello, Peter Billingsley's residence. May I help you?
No, Peter Billingsley is the kid in the Christmas movie.
The Christmas
movie. Shoot Your Eye Out.
Which one is that?
Shoot Your Eye Out, where he wants the air rifle.
What's it called?
It's called a Christmas Story, I think.
See, I'm not as familiar with that as you were. What?
What? You were what?
I'm not as familiar with that as you is.
Oh, I see that.
I think is what I said.
Peter Billings, you don't know that Christmas Story?
No. I maybe.
And the father wins the lamp that's shaped like a woman's leg?
Nope. Don't know it.
Oh, my God. Dave, that's
ain't ringing a bell over here.
Well, he is also also known as Messy Marvin. He used to be the kid in the Hershey's commercials.
Now, that sounds familiar.
The blonde, beautiful, cute, blonde little kid with the glasses.
Messy Marvin.
Messy Marvin.
That I remember.
I'm surprised that you don't know the...
Peter Billingsley is Messy Marvin?
Yeah. Was. Not. Is not anymore.
Well, once you are, you kind of can't lose that.
Well, apparently he's like... Well, I don't think he's our age, but he's a little younger. But now he's rolling with Jon Favreau. That's who he's rolling with now.
Good.
He's in that posse.
As long as he's not rolling with...
Here it comes. Wait for it. It better be funny.
Oh, man.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bob Saget.
Why would you say Bob Saget?
Because... Oh, man. I can't even think of this guy's name.
That's like the other day when you
Kennedy,
said...
Kennedy, man. Who's that Kennedy? Who's the Kennedy guy?
Jamie Kennedy?
Jamie Kennedy's got a rap song with something rolling with Bob Saget. Something like that. It's really bad.
Is it? Oh, it's not funny?
It's somewhat funny, but it's kind of cheesy. Kind of corny.
But maybe it's supposed to be? I kind of like Jamie Kennedy.
It's kind of corny.
B-Rad. What was that name of the movie he made? Malibu. Malibu's Most Wanted?
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. That was pretty B-ad. That,
but I still like him. But oh, and he was in The Mask 2.
Bizarre.
Which was awful.
Why would you make The Mask 2?
You, there was just no reason for it.
What kind of world? There was no reason for The Mask 1. I rest my case.
The Mask 2, no. Awful. Awful, awful, oof. Awful.
I was going to pick Saw 2. But do you have to have seen Saw 1 to see Saw 2? Saw 3?
Well, that was my question, too, because it was Saw 2. It just popped up, I think, today or yesterday on the pay-per-view list. But we hadn't seen Saw 1. Saw, I think it's pretty gruesome, though, Dave. I think, you know, it involves a saw.
Right.
And I think you have to cut your own limb off or something. I don't know. I know it's like a horror movie, though.
Well, we'll see if we see Saw.
And, oh, speaking of... was there a worse part of this movie for you, by the way?
No, nothing to complain about.
You say no?
No, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, no, I can't think of a worse part. A scale of 1 to 10?
I already told you the worst part, the kid's name.
Yeah, that is bad.
A 1 to 10, I'd have to give it an 8.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I could even give it a 9, because it was really good. It's just not a 9 for me. Could be a 9 for someone. So I'd have to go with an 8, actually.
Wait a second, why would...
I mean, this is a good movie, but for me, I enjoyed it like an 8. But I could definitely see like being like a little kid and maybe thinking it's a 9 or a 10. For me, it's an 8.
Okay, I'm giving it a 9.
Whoa!
I'm giving it a 9 because...
And if you were a little kid, you might just have to give it a 10, wouldn't you?
No, I think if I was a little kid, I'd give it a 9.
Whoa.
Little
well,
kids,
there goes my theory.
Little kids have are pretty good at figuring shit out.
Why, you kids today, back when I was a kid, we had to walk 10 miles, I tell you, before we could see a movie.
That is so not true.
We'd walk 10 miles in the bare feet over there.
Oh, God. It's not, you know what? That's not true.
Picking up the hubcaps on the way to the movie there to cash them in for some popcorns.
Talking about popcorn, we gave up on the microwave popcorn, a couple of months ago.
They're trying to kill you with the microwave popcorn.
Well, apparently the lining of the microwave popcorn bag is made out of some like weird chemically bad stuff for you. So for whatever reason, it's just even, and we get, you know, we were getting the Paul Newman's popcorn, but it still has that shit in the bag. So we've moved to the Jiffy Pop popcorn, the old-fashioned over-the-burner Jiffy Pop.
We gotta just get a popping machine and pop some kernels. We gotta just get a popping machine and pop some kernels.
Yes, it's true. We should get a popping machine, but where would we put it?
You can get a small popping machine nowadays. They have the miniature version of the tall thing. It sits right on your countertop for like $40.
Oh, it does?
And yeah, one of them Sharper Image catalogs or one of them catalogs over there.
It's an air popper?
Yep, it's an air popper, exactly.
Because I got to say, the Jiffy Pop?
It's decorated like a popcorn popper that you'd see at a movie theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, like red and white and with the glass, you can see it.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's like $40. And you can get the full-size one for like $100 or something.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I just want to say that the Jiffy Pop is damn good. That's a damn good popcorn. And, to be honest, the Jiffy Pop pops up more than the microwave.
Well, that's good. The Jiffy Pop. Cool. Excellent.
So I wanted to get to J.R. Claiborne. He sent us we had asked for people to send us movies that they wanted us to review. And he sent us The Omega Man. But we hadn't had time to watch it this week. We will watch it this upcoming week and discuss it next week. But if you want to send us a movie, get in touch with us through our website at daveandshecky.com. And we'll send you. We'll give you our address, and you can send a movie off to us.
Who's in The Omega Man?
That's Charlton Heston.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh no! I'm thinking of something with. I'm thinking of something different. Charlton Heston and who else?
Well, he's just the main. He's the Omega Man.
What year is this from?
You get it? He's the Omega Man.
I don't get it.
The Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. So it's not really Star. I mean, there are other actors in the movie, but he's the Omega Man, so it's just really starring him.
Sounds like a fucking. Sounds like a love fest for the NRA.
What? What do you mean?
What? He's the head of the NRA, or was.
Yeah, but what does that have to do? It has nothing to do with the Omega Man.
Yeah, but anything that he's in, they're going to love.
So are you saying that J.R. Claiborne is pushing this movie because he has his own agenda?
He's a goddamn gun lover. No. I don't know what I'm talking
There's
about.
There's nothing wrong with being armed.
Hey, man, support yourself. Arm yourself. Otherwise, the bears are going to arm themselves. And the bears don't have any right to arm themselves.
Well, I'm less concerned with the bears and more concerned with the government. But for whatever reasons, I don't think that J.R. Claiborne has an agenda, and that's why he sent us this movie.
See, when I was thinking Omega Man, I thought it was with Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett and Harvey Keitel. You know that one?
Kirk Douglas, Farrah Fawcett, and Harvey Keitel.
Oh, that's a real nightmare.
What is that?
I don't know, like Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett are like, you know, stranded on some like space station. And then like Harvey Keitel comes in as like some captain and like some shit goes down. It's like, it's really bad. It's like from 1980. Kirk Douglas walking around with his no shirt on and Farrah Fawcett as his woman.
Is Farrah Fawcett in Logan's Run?
I'm not sure about that, but that is a good movie.
Yeah.
We got a runner. That's a classic.
So, J.R. Claiborne, whatever agenda you're pushing, we will...
Omega Man, next week.
We will watch Omega Man, and we will...
We won't tell Michael Moore, I promise.
Dave, not everything Charlton Heston was in...
I love Planet of the Apes.
I will say I love it despite him. Because I personally don't love Charlton Heston, but not because of his politics or whatever. He's a little over the top. Sometimes there's actors that are just over the top. And back in the day, I guess that was, you were just over the top. Acting was about being over the top, you know?
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm not even too aware of his acting. I mean, I just know that he's like this kind of like...
He was like in Ben-Hur.
Stiff, chiseled guy.
He was in Ben-Hur, and he was in the Ten Commandments. He was like the big guy for a while.
Yeah.
You know? But... I think acting has gotten so much better in the past, 80 years, that...
Whoa, don't Don't diss Chuck, baby.
I'm not dissing Chuck. I'm just dissing everybody, basically. I mean, if you see any movies, really, except maybe some like comedy movies, which are supposed to be over the top, you know, like say like a Bob Hope and Bing Crosby type of thing. That's fine that they're over the top, or Abbott Costello, because they're comedians. But you see these, you know, these black and white dramatic, like Betty Davis, and they've got it's just
Clark Gable.
He was actually okay. He was cool. He seemed cool. He was not over the top.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I'm just like, Betty Davis was all like weird, and Joan Crawford, you know, they'd have these ridiculous.
Yeah, completely out of her mind.
Yeah, they were just, they just seemed like they were, it was just a lot of overacting going on. And these days, it's all about being subtle.
Humphrey Bogart was subtle.
I liked Humphrey Bogart, but he was, you know.
He was Humphrey Bogart.
My favorite actor of all times is Spencer Tracy. Do you have a favorite actor of all times?
I don't think so.
Your favorite actor of current times?
Oh, man. That old bag. Yeah, see, I probably do, but I really got to think about it, because it's just hard to say.
It's not Johnny Depp?
It's not Johnny Depp. It could be someone like Jack Nicholson or Nick Cage.
Did you just say Nick Cage?
Yeah, me and Nick, we hang out. Nick Cage. I was just thinking about Nick Cage, because I really like his stuff.
You do?
Yeah, he's like so over the top, just like you were saying. He's like,
then why wouldn't you let me get the Lord of War the other day?
I don't know. I just don't want to be disappointed.
By Nick Cage?
By anything Nick Cage is in. Which one of you guys is in Nick Cage's band?
Which Nick Cage movie do you like the best? What movie has made you this much of a fan of Nick Cage?
All right, I'll tell you the one that I love Nick Cage in the most.
Okay.
I think I might have the title wrong.
Okay.
Vampire's Kiss, Kiss of the Vampire, something Vampire. This is a priceless movie.
There's a vampire movie with Nick Cage in it, and that's what you have decided.
Yeah, he's like a yuppie, uptight yuppie business guy who like has an affair with a woman, I think, and like basically becomes a vampire, but he slowly realizes it, and he slowly transforms into this complete fiend. And his acting, it's just so comical. It's really, really great.
What year is this from?
I'd say this is from about 89, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, it's full 80s. It's like full on 80s.
My favorite Nick Cage movie, even though you didn't ask, I'm going to tell you.
I will tell you another one, and I bet it's the same one that you like.
Okay.
Valley Girl?
No. I'm sorry. That is incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, terrific. No, it's Peggy Sue Got Married.
Oh, that is a good one.
He's great in that. That's a great movie.
That was when he was, before he became a character of himself.
Yes. No. Yeah, no. He's pretty...
He's always been that way?
Yeah. He was pretty much been a character the whole time.
Completely ridiculous.
So I didn't realize that he was like your favorite current movie actor.
Well, he's just kind of so funny and so ridiculous and like... I know, he just takes himself seriously, but I don't know. I just kind of think he's funny.
Okay.
I like him.
So here it is. It's that time of the show, folks, where Dave has put together a presentation for us all. And the name of the segment, of course, is People That You Don't Know That You Should Know That Are In Movies. And this week, I swear, Dave has promised that it's going to be a spectacular edition of this segment. So, Dave... I'm ready when you are. I'm sorry, Dave, is your mic not working?
Yeah, I think I left that in my car. You mind if I just run upstairs and grab that, man? I'll be right back.
Dave. Did you?
Oh, wait a second. I can't find the keys to my car, which it is locked in.
Oh, Dave.
Herman Melville.
No. He is not an actor.
Oh, Nick Cage. No.
No.
The Cope. Not The Cope?
No, The Cope is a radio disc jockey.
Good friends of Nick Cage.
He's his brother.
All right, then. I rest my case.
But he's not somebody who's in movies that you should
the
know.
The guy who played Bull in Night Shift.
Who is that?
The tall guy who played Bull. in movies.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Night Shift with Harry, the magician. Bull, the tall guy.
Oh, Richard Mole?
All right, let's go. Richard Mole.
No, he cannot be. Dave.
John Larquette.
Let me tell you something, Dave.
Larquette.
The people who can that you don't know that you should know that are in movies, you need to know who they are. You can't
Lamont.
Just say that guy.
Desmond Williams.
Lamont.
The guy who played Lamont.
Okay, well, what else was Lamont in? What movies were
he
was
in? He was also in Berkeley to Boston, The Lost 40... You know, that movie with John Lithgow's first movie.
Berkeley to Boston or the 40-pound...
Brick... Lost something.
Lost Brick Blues?
Something like that. He's in that. Yeah.
Okay. Lamont is in that movie?
Lamont is in that movie. So is Charles Durning, isn't he?
I think Lamont, Charles Durning, Barbara Hershey, John Lithgow, of course, Buzzy Linhart, which is why we even know the movie exists.
Barbara Hershey's in rare form.
She's
literally.
She's also topless.
She's in raw form.
She's topless. I think this is her first movie. This
a
is
kooky
a lot of...
guy who looks like Peter Fonda, who was not Peter Fonda.
Who was that guy?
I don't know. He was like, you know, Joe Cool.
That movie is it's one of those movies that you can only get on eBay.
This is an obscure 60s flick, baby.
Is it 60? Like, no, it's, isn't it?
Or maybe it's 71.
71?
Yeah. It has a whole 60s feel to it, though.
It's awful. It's an awful movie.
It's awfully entertaining.
I did a documentary about Buzzy Linhart, so we... own the movie and watched it to see if there's anything clips we could pull from it, and there really aren't, but the movie's just awful. But his part is the best part.
It's classic.
It's
some classic footage.
It's the story, you know. The truth is, it's one of those movies that could be remade.
Well, you know what's heavy? I'm sorry, go on.
Go right ahead, Dave.
What's heavy about this movie is it's John Lithgow's first movie. Uh-huh. I believe it's also written by Michael Crichton.
Well, Michael and his brother Doug.
Right. So
Michael Crichton, who eventually went on to write stuff like Jurassic Park.
And ER. He's all over the ER.
But he wrote like tons of movies. And this was a book he wrote with his brother Doug. And it's a book about pot.
Yeah, this movie's this is an outlaw movie, baby.
It's a pot movie.
This is not Jurassic Park. Okay.
It's not even close to Jurassic Park.
It's Jurassic Park.
It's disaster. Disaster
Park.
All right. Well, I think anything you want to say.
So yeah, I'm sorry.
Zathura.
I don't really have a person this week, but next week I think I'm going to have a person.
I tell you, the masses are clamoring for Lee Van Cleef.
I tell you, I heard that name before. Does that guy have a beard?
I don't know.
Sounds like a beatnik.
I think he was in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with Clint Eastwood.
Whoa. Well, I'll have to get hip to the hip.
Yeah.
I got to get hip to the dip.
I think everybody seems to be saying that you will know him when you see him.
I need to take a sip and get hip to the dip. I will know him when I see him, but I don't know him yet.
So, Zathura, just get back real quick. I would highly recommend you... this would be a movie I would want to buy and put in my collection. I think it's that good.
I hear that.
But you don't buy DVDs.
Well, I ain't a sci-fi guy, and I don't like to buy that kind of stuff, but if I were that kind of guy, I would buy it.
But I would, if you have...
I recommend it. I highly recommend a movie.
Definitely, you know, one of those movies you can give as a gift to any kid in your family or friend's kids or whatever, and it's their birthday. I think it's a movie that the kids, like, you know, they'll put in the DVD player and watch over and over and over again. And there's some good lines in it too.
It's witty.
Okay.
What?
I said okay.
It's witty.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut all that out.
Why?
Because we're not going. We're just, you know, if we're not saying anything, then we shouldn't be saying anything.
True.
So that's it for us this week. Just head on over to DaveAndShecky.com. Join in the festivities there. We have a forum, a message board, Or you can, our addresses, our email addresses are there if you'd like to send us an email and suggest a movie, or if you have a movie in your collection you'd like to send to us. That's how you get in touch with us. You have anything else to say, Dave?
Hey, keep tuned and tell a friend, and don't give up hope on this whole podcast thing there, kids. It's the next big thing, I tell you. You kids out there with your iPods, look out.
All right, we will speak with you next week.
Bye-bye, kiddies.
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget.
Fuck, man. Call ID, you fucking bitch. We're going to go to Concord or something. Call me.
Have you ever had one of those nights that started off so damn good? No fights, no fuss. It's understood that when you go to the bar,
man, we ain't even to us girls in the car.
Well, this night started off just like that, except Jamie's what? In the driver's seat, Saget's in the back. We rolling on to the club, pull up front, Saget's in the back seat, rolling a blunt. Valet opens up the door to park the car. The bouncer at the front don't wanna let us in the bar. Bob says,
here, let me show him some affection.
Then he walked up, wound up, and cold clock decked him.
Started screaming for the bitch to respect him. Next thing you know, we're in the VIP section.
When crew runs deep like this, you wanna brag.
Who you rolling with? I'm rolling with Saget. Bob, Bob Saget. Numero uno. Nobody does it better. In a cardigan sweater. Now the night's young, but everybody's getting tipsy.
Bob's in the booth with a chick from Poughkeepsie.
Daughter in the Dom Perignon, just drink it from the bottle. Making plans to leave the club with three models. That's when DMX and 50 Cent walked in. Bob stood up and said,
who are you again?
At first, all they did was stand around and stare.
Till X pushed Bob and 50 hit him with a chair.
He's in a cardigan, khaki shoes and no socks.
You want hardcore motherfuckers?
Pull out a Glock.
I got a cock like a donkey, hard as a rock. And a trigger finger itchier than chicken pox.
Everybody threw their hands in the air.
Bob's drunk with a gun and he just don't care.
We on the floor, he's on the table now firing shots. Paris Hilton's on his cell phone calling the cops. He blew the smoke off the tip of his gun.
Bob Saget, bitch, you better act someone.
Bob Saget, numero uno. Nobody does it better. Bob Saget, the illest motherfucker in a cardigan sweater.
Bob grabs us and the girls we run out the back door.
Since he's feeling froggy, daddy's still hungry for more. He's in the back seat getting busy again, asking the girls if they're lesbians.
The girls start kissing, now my dick's getting hard.
Let's go to my place, the hot tub's in the backyard. I got beer and Henny, an ounce of kush. Yo, Jay, pull over, I gotta pee in a bush.
When you're rolling with Saget, there's no time for rest. This motherfucker's flipping bottle caps off of a chest.
Young, I'm Bob Saget, this is what I do. My house, my car, this is my crew. My only language is Amy and Stu.
Patrol the mean streets of Malibu.
Night.
Anyway, we're going out, man. If you want to, it'd be fun. We're going to go out and go on a Lindsay Lohan wannabe. If you want to hang out, we can look at people's daughters and then go home and then wonder what the fuck we're doing. Bye.
Night, Michelle.